Hey, a happy Thursday evening and welcome to another edition of Sports Look here on CARE Radio. So good to have you with us. Our Sport Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, and Exchange Bank. Well, Gus, hard to believe, but even though we started this thing back in August, the football season for the high schools around the state of Kansas is over. What a fantastic year. I mean, if we look back, we've talked about it periodically during the course of the season. People are going to look back at what a great year it was. And for a lot of teams around this area, 2023, one for the books.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that football season's already over, right? And we talk about it and joke about it all year. I mean, back when we had our first Sports Look, we're laughing that it won't be long and then it'll be dark outside and then you blink and then it'll be light out again. And, I mean, we're kind of flying through things, and it's so crazy that when you start looking at the upcoming sports schedule, let's see, last Saturday you had high school football in Hayes, and then this Friday night, you just might as well start basketball season. So, again, it's a crazy turnaround. It's fun. Yes, a lot of teams around the local area had some great seasons, and with that in mind, let's just jump through and look through all the state champions, and you jump down to, let's just start big, I guess.
Yeah, Class 6A down at Emporia State University, the championship game last Saturday. It was Gardner-Edgerton and Derby. Well, the best came through to the end, right? And Gardner-Edgerton, and maybe, and there were some great games in the championships. One of the great ones, Gardner-Edgerton wins it 22-19 over Derby. Derby, perennial champions at that division.
You jump down to Class 5A, and that game was played a place you're somewhat familiar with now, Pittsburgh, Kansas. It was Mill Valley, the Jaguars, winning that game over Capen 62-37. Wasn't much of a game as Mill Valley finishes the season 11-2 in champions of Class 5A. And you talk about Mill Valley, they weren't even champions of their league. But you know who was? Gardner-Edgerton.
There you go.
The Sunflower League gets two through to the title game. Gardner-Edgerton, champions of 6A. Mill Valley, champions of 5.
Going to Class 4A, and of course we followed the Phoenix in their tremendous season. And ultimately, the team that wins the state championship, Gus, not a 1 or a 2 or a 3, or 4 or 5, a 6 seed comes through, came into the postseason at 5-3, ended the year. St. Thomas Aquinas defeated Andover Central 35-7. They just steamrolled their way to a state crown.
Yeah, and Randy Dryling adds another little piece of hardware to the old trophy cases. Yeah, you talk about St. Thomas Aquinas, they lost 3 games this season. They lost to Rockhurst way back on September 29th, that was a game that a lot of people around the state have kept an eye on because that was a game where Aquinas was up big and all of a sudden Rockhurst riddled off like 40 second half points. I mean, it was just a ridiculous game. They lost to Miege, they lost to Blue Valley Southwest, but got to the playoffs where they were able to avenge that loss to Miege with a 14-7 win on the road. And then they beat Baser, Tongi, and then knock off Andover Central. That game being played at Hummer Sports Complex in Topeka.
Go to Class 3A, and it was the battle that everybody had hoped it would be. I mean, with two undefeated teams, Topeka Hayden was 12-0, Cheney was 12-0. But I tell you what, closer maybe than that score indicated. At Hutch, it was Cheney winning a 34-7 over Hayden.
Yeah, you talk about Cheney, and I mean, this has been kind of the magical season, right? They are the team who knocked off Andale back on October 13th, and that was kind of that streak snapper. It was an overtime 36-30 win against Andale, and then they turned around and really much problems with Hayden, 34-7. Hayden and head coach Bill Arnold, they're going to finish the season at 12-1.
Class 2A played at the Salina District Stadium, and it was one of the games, we know all about it, that got moved up an hour. It was a noon game, and again, a matchup of two undefeated teams as Nemaha Central represents the Big 7 in its final year, and the Thunder win the state title over Hoisington 28-14.
Yeah, one of the closer games that Nemaha Central played all season, right? You start looking back through the playoffs, and they were able to, what, get through Riley County 55-13, knock off Osage 53-27, beat Sabetha 17-7, and then in the state title game, a 28-14 win over Hoisington. They finished the season. You talk about a perfect record of 13-0. Hoisington falls to 12-1, their lone loss coming in that state title game.
State title game that we got to enjoy here on Care Radio out in Hays, Kansas, snowy Hays, Kansas, and a noon game at Fort Hays State University. Jefferson County North, the tremendous season Coach Snyder and his 11 seniors on that team had coming into the championship game at 11-1. But Conway Springs, who had lost their first two games of the year, this is how you got want to finish, right? You want to finish your season on a 9-game winning streak, and that's what the Cardinals did. They win it 35-6.
Yeah, you know, you talked to head coach Matt Beeler on, what, September the 9th, and he says, all right, we got to get better, and that's exactly what they did, right? They started off 0-2, went on to run the tables at the end of the season, and come away with a nice 35-6 win over JCN. But for JCN, what a magical season, right? You not only talk about the regular season where they had the one loss at home to St. Mary's 34-6. That was back on October 6th. But then they get to the playoffs, and we talked about it last time on Sports Talk. They slay the dragon every week, right? You go back to where it started. You had that game against Troy, a 48-22 victory, moved on to round two. Then they get Centralia, a team who they've struggled with over the years in the playoffs, right? Like, typically is either at Centralia or, let's just say that, it is typically at Centralia.
Pretty much seems like always.
And Centralia has been just really good over the years, but JCN, able to knock them out 16-0. Then you go on to the third round, and it's Olpe, right? How many times have we gone to Olpe for JCN and Olpe? Well, JCN thumped them 52-0. And then it was all of a sudden like, you got everything moving forward. You had beat the teams that had knocked you off previously. Then you get the number one team in Class 1A, and you go to their place at St. Mary's Colgan and jump behind a little bit early, and then all of a sudden you come away with a 20-13 win in that ball game. And again, a loss in the state title game to Conway Springs, it's tough, but what a season.
Yeah, and let's be candid, too. Conway Springs, not only were they really good, 9 in a row and multiple state championships down there, but the weather was not good. It was cold. It was windy. It was snow on the field. They swept off the yard markers. And the Conway Springs offense, I mean, it was geared for that. How many times did you see that single-wing offense? What it does is nothing. It doesn't hand off the ball very often. It doesn't throw the ball ever. And what do? You snap back to this monstrous guy, this huge athletic guy who could be an O-tackle somewhere or pulling guard. I mean, he was, you know, 6'3 and 240. And you just run straight ahead. And you just plunk along and you plunk along and you move the ball downfield.
Yep. And then in that weather, you're hoping for a missed tackle. And then all of a sudden you turn that 3-4 yard gain into a 10-15 and maybe even a bigger gain. And that's kind of what happened, right? Like, I mean, a couple missed tackles, and on a cold day, it's tough to tackle. You keep bouncing off. There's bad footing. All of the things apply. And when it was all said and done, Conway was a really good team.
Yep. Ben, congratulations to JCN on that state championship game run. So super season for them. So there you have it. They kind of run up and down of the classes 1 through 6A, and football season is put to rest. And as you mentioned, we're going to be talking, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk some high school hoops as basketball season starts tomorrow night for the high schools here on Care Radio. We'll be back with that and more right after this. Sports Hook continues here on Care Radio. Happy to have you along with us. And of course, we always have to thank our lead sponsor, Hamada Wealth Management, helping make this all happen every Thursday. Gus, high school basketball tomorrow night, and if the weather holds up, We're going to go out 24 Highway, get out to Rossville, and it will be the Phoenix, a team for whom people have very, very high hopes. And they're going to be out there against a Rossville team that had a deep run into the football playoffs. Let's just talk about it again. We'll reflect back to football. All these state champions, they've had, what, three basketball practices maybe?
Yeah, maybe four.
And
right?
For Atchison, they ran deep. And so, yeah, there's no question that the coach hasn't had a chance to do all the things he would like to with them. So you come out, and sometimes the early athleticism, sometimes the returners from last year, you know, all come into play in these early games.
Yeah, I think really, if you're a head coach, these early games especially, you just lean on, okay, we're really athletic. Let's kind of put a few pieces in place, but for the most part, let them go out there and play and see what happens. And I think that that's probably what you're going to see for the first few weeks, right? We always break down the high school basketball season, right? I put it into thirds, and we talk about it every year on Sports Hub. The first third is getting from the start of the season to Christmas break. Tread water there, right? Like, institute your offense and your defense and kind of work forward. The advantage is, like, defense. Most teams are going to play man, or you're going to see 2-3 zone, right? It's easy. You've played it enough. You know it. I don't need to really harp on that. Put in a few offensive sets. A lot of teams are just going to run motion in the first half of the season. So, again, if you can get to the Christmas break, that's where you really start implementing everything you want to see for that second run until the midseason tournaments. And then it's that sprint to the finish.
Yeah, and we're going to get to see the Phoenix tomorrow night. And for the Phoenix, the girls team under head coach Nick Rebant had a great season last year, 11-10. But you got to understand, that includes an 8-3 conference record in the Meadowlark. They were second in the conference, and they got off to a slow start. Okay, they were 0-5, but then guys turned it around, winning 11 of their last 16. And that's always the mark of a good team. As the season goes on, you get better, you get it figured out, you start playing some really good basketball. So for the Atchison girls, they've got great optimism, and for head coach Pat Battle and the boys, 19-4 last year, 9-3 in an extremely, extremely competitive Meadowlark Conference in basketball. Phoenix beat teams like Coffeyville and Hayden, got to the 4A state tournament. We went out to Salina and got to watch them out there, and they ultimately ran up against Bishop Miege. That's where they ended their season. But last year, great for the Phoenix. This year, very, very strong expectations. Returning starters, you know?
Now, real quick, we're going to kind of jump around a little bit, because earlier this week, the state of Kansas in the offseason allowed, 2 years ago, right? It's probably been longer than that. They allowed football to have jamborees, right? Yeah. Preseason jamboree where you can get three schools together, I think, mm-hmm. and you guys can all kind of scrimmage each other for a quarter. There's a certain number of plays, I think, is how it turned out. This year, Keisha says, hey, football jamborees work well. Why not allow basketball jamborees? And so earlier this week, we started seeing a few of them pop up. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, how long have they been doing both of those things over in Missouri? I mean, they've been doing jamborees over there since I can remember. Kansas maybe just kind of catching up a little bit. I think it's good for the teams. Gives them a chance to see what they got, put them in some real game-type situation, and you're a little bit better prepared.
Yeah, you know, I like it. I think it's kind of neat. I really like it when you're getting teams that just aren't going to play each other, right? When you start putting together teams that are just completely outside of that geographic bubble, and that makes it a lot more fun. Do you remember, wasn't years ago up at the college, they used to have, wasn't the DVL a preseason tournament?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, things like that kind of are fun. Players enjoy them. They're just a little different than the everyday. And for kids, it's one less day of practice, right? Like, instead of scrimmaging the same people I'm going to see every day, I get to get out there, get a few plays. Also, you get a chance to feel out the new rules of high school basketball.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the new rules. But before we do that, I got a question for you. Remember new rules, because I'll forget this when I get done. You play a little high school basketball too, okay? And so when you're out scrimmaging and you're at basketball practice, okay, and you're in the high school gym and coach is working with the varsity, and say, you know, you're like some of us that weren't even on the JV, but let's say that you're a JV player. The varsity's running offense and doing their stuff. JV, did they ever get to run offense, or were they always just out there playing defense against the varsity and never got to see any offensive work?
Oh, yeah, you got to run offense because then that was a good chance for the varsity to work on their defense and things like that. So, yeah, I mean.
So back and forth, it was, you know, up and down, you're playing teams against one another to get that kind of a game feel and stuff.
Right. Yep.
Okay. So. That, I'm just curious about how that ever worked, you know? Now, let's go back to the new rules. State of Kansas fans are going to, I'm going to be honest, fans, players, coaches, officials are all going to be, you know, they're going to have a little learning curve for this. Okay, now we've been fortunate enough, we're used to this because college women's basketball has been doing this for a number of years now.
Yeah, and so it's going to be like a catch up for high school basketball, which is going to be kind of easier for you because you'll be able to sit back and say, well, I think that's wrong because, wait, I know that's wrong. Yeah, so there'll be a few things. The one thing that I still haven't gotten used to, I hate getting rid of the one-on-one, right? You bail out bad free throw shooters. You're guaranteeing 2 free throws on every free throw attempt from now on, unless it's like a continuation of an and one.
Right. And so what that means is at each quarter, okay, quarters 1 through 2, 3, 4, you, after the team commits its 5th foul, free throws are shot. No more 1-and-1. Every free throw opportunity is a 2-shot opportunity. Okay.
Yep. And at the end of each quarter now, you reset the fouls.
Yep.
So no more game where, and this would happen once in a while, you get a team who get a little foul happy in the first quarter, get maybe, let's say, 5 fouls in the first 3 minutes of the game, and all of a sudden you were shooting free throws for the remainder of the half. That's not the case. You'll shoot the free throws for the remainder of the quarter. Then when we get to quarter two, boom, everybody back to 0 fouls. And then let's restart the count. So, again, it will speed up the game a little bit in the sense of you're not going to see as many free throws, you know, if there were a lot of fouls in the early going.
Yeah, theoretically, you could have 8 fouls committed in the first half and never see a free throw.
Yep. And then the only other real rule change, and most basketball fans just aren't going to notice it as
never
much.
Never going to notice it.
Yeah, it's going to be where the ball comes in. The ball now comes in. It's your favorite thing. How many times have you seen floors where they got rid of the 28-foot lines? Now you've got to bring the 28-foot lines back because they're there for a reason. The ball will now come in off corresponding 28-foot lines instead.
And that's a line that extends about 3 feet into the court, 28 feet out from the baseline.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you're looking at it, it's up kind of near midcourt. It's that funky line sticking off the court. And you've always wondered what it was for. That's what it's for. So,
before, just to kind of set it aside, the officials would try to assume the ball went out of bounds about here.
Yep.
When it was thrown and it went out, the trajectory, it was about here. And so you put it in play at the point at which the official felt it had gone out of bounds.
Yeah, so no longer are you going to have a player putting the ball in, you know, in the middle of somebody's bench area, you know, like free throw line extended. Now it's just you're going to go the 28-foot line to the baseline.
Yeah.
So
now,
should make it easier, too, for officials, I think, is really where you're trying to clean that up.
The one other rule that I had hoped with these new changes that they were going to implement.
Never
going to
happen. I know where you're going.
Coming in at midcourt.
Oh, okay.
Out of the timeout.
Oh, okay. That one, I thought you were going to say shot clock.
Oh, no, that shot clock's never going to happen. I hope it doesn't. It'll just be more confusion. But, yeah, you know, in the college game, you take the timeout, you put the ball in play at the backcourt. Suddenly, you get it in at midcourt.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal. Late in the game, you got to get one shot away. You have just saved yourself nearly 50 feet of travel that's going to take several seconds off the clock.
It also kind of changes the way a coach approaches a game, right? Because how many times late in the game did you see coaches holding on those timeouts? And then my favorite part of the end of a college game right now is both coaches racing to get the timeout, right? Like the team that's ahead is trying to call the timeout so that the other team can't move the ball ahead. Then the other team is trying to move that ball ahead. So, again, it's kind of fun. I do think that probably within the next couple of years at high school, I feel like they couldn't throw too much in this year, right? So let's reset the fouls. Let's take away the 1-on-1. That's good enough for 1 year. And then next year, let's implement the timeout.
I'm a jerk to Band-Aid off.
I know, but
it all done and just get it.
Again, you've seen enough high school officials over the years that, you know, let's not throw too much at them. So, again, a few rule changes, nothing crazy. A handful of you probably won't even notice game in and game out.
Hey, we're talking basketball. We're going to take a break. We're coming back. College hoops, the focus of our attention when Sport Look continues right after this. Welcome back to Sports Look here on CARE Radio. Gus, last night, the trip over to Fayette, Missouri. The highways were great. It was the best time I've had on I-70 in a long time. And the weather was perfect and the people very congenial. But the games were tough goes for both the Benedictine ladies and guys.
Yeah, and starting off with the ladies, they dropped that game 69-57 to Central Methodist. And you go back, and early on in the game, you had some opportunities. And Central Methodist is, I don't know, I mean, you're going to have a better idea about this. I kind of call them a little Jekyll and Hyde type team, right? They had some stretches where I don't think they played very well, and then all of a sudden felt like the Ravens were able to get back in it, and then Central would, like, pick it up a little bit and be able to push that lead back out. I mean, one of those examples was the second quarter, right? Central Methodist only scores 8 points. Benedictine outscores them, what, 18-8, and all of a sudden makes it a competitive contest going into the second half. But
yeah,
then,
took it down to a 2-point game at halftime,
yeah,
man.
But then coming out in the third quarter, Central Methodist, boom, kicks it on, scores 25 points in the third quarter, 14 in the fourth quarter, and come away with that 69-57 win. For the Lady Ravens, nice night for Jennifer Jacobs. She's putting together a really good campaign. She was 4 of 7 from the floor. She was 4 of 6 from the free throw line. Pulls down 5 boards last night to get 12 points.
Yeah, she led the way. She's having a really good season. And, you know, for Benedictine, a quality opponent, as always, a road trip. Never easy, and this conference is going to be really, really tough. And you look up and down on the ladies' side right now, you've got three teams already perched at the top: Grandview, Missouri Valley, Clark, undefeated in the conference. Grandview and Clark are 7-0 and 6-0, and Missouri Valley 6-1. I mean, the top three are already beginning to separate themselves.
Yeah, Grandview scored 99 points last night as they beat Peru 99-82. Missouri Valley, a 9-point winner over Mount Mercy. You had Culver Stockton beating William Penn by a dozen, and it was Park outlasting Baker on the ladies' side last night, 64-60. So that one might have been a little bit of a shock to me. Tonight, Clark is going to be, or excuse me, today.
Today.
Yeah, you had Clark and Graceland, and then Saturday.
What time is that girls' game, by the way? 2?
Yes, 2 and 4.
2 and then 4 o'clock for the guys up there. Yeah. Crazy times.
But it doesn't make sense why they're playing that unless it's something for Graceland, because Clark is going to Graceland today and then going to be back home on Saturday with Baker. So, I don't know. Game's
it's not
going
like
on.
You're making a road trip, a
yeah,
swing
it's
around.
Not like you're just, you know. Anyway, game Saturday in the conference, you're going to have Culver Stockton and Benedictine. 12 o'clock ladies game. Baker will be at Clark for a noon game. Park will be at Mount Mercy for a noon game. The 2 o'clock ladies starts will be William Penn at Valley, Peru State at Central Methodist, and a weird 4-6. You got Mid-America up and Des Moines taking on Grandview. The only thing I can figure there is because the football game starts at 1 for Grandview that
yeah.
day. So you probably bumped it a little bit.
The guys last night found themselves getting themselves, you know, behind a little bit early in the Central Methodist. Here's the thing. You get out of the block so fast. CMU absolutely was missing nothing early in the game. I think they hit 7 of their first 8 3-point shots. At that point, you're trailing, you're in trouble, and it just kind of snowballed from there, and Central Methodist coming away with a home win.
We talk about home court advantage all the time, but don't you feel like that gym has always just had a little more to it?
Yeah.
Because of the way it's set up.
Yeah,
and the
it's
size.
Cavernous. It's big. You know, the backboards are out in space. And the elevated floor, I think there's just a little bit of a different feel to it. I don't hear players saying, I hate playing on that floor. But the fact that it's up in the air, you know, like you get at a lot of the bigger arenas, you know, but that's not why it's like that. I think they just had to get it off the concrete and didn't know how else to make a floor. And so it's just suspended up a little bit, and the lighting's kind of weird, and it's so tall.
And you know what else it is? It's off-centered.
Yes.
The floor sets a little bit more to the west,
correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of those things. So you might have 20 feet on one side, and you have like 12 feet on the other side.
On the west side, there's like sidewalk width, okay, between the floor and the wall. But on the north side, you could drive two cars side by side between the floor and the wall. I mean, it is wide, wide, wide on that side.
So Ravens, you know, just struggled a little bit. Some of their guys that you expect to have good games, and again, they're shooters, right? Like some of these guys, like you talk about Braden Belt. He's a guy who went 0-for-7 last night, but he's a guy who Saturday, if you tell me he's going to go 5-of-6, I wouldn't be shocked because I think that's just how shooters do. And sometimes you're just off. But Gino Cordori had a really nice game yesterday, 5-of-7 from the floor, was able to pull down 4 boards on his way to 15 points. You were able to get Bryson LaRue stepping off the bench. He went 7-of-12 shooting. So, again, get in a little bit from your bench right now. You've got a few pieces that I think Coach Moody's expecting back, you know, maybe after the holiday break or near the holiday break. So, yeah, I mean, those are some things that happen. But you also look at Central Methodist, and on the night, it's tough to beat a team who shoots 82% from the free throw line and 41% from behind the arc.
Yeah. And again, they were just red hot. Beating a team that is just flaming hot like that is not easy to do. So, the thing is, you got to bounce right back, man. You got no time.
Games that go on around the conference. Last night, Baker knocked off Park on the men's side, 83-67. William Penn finally gets back on the winning track, beating Culver Stockton, 93-83. Missouri Valley over Mount Mercy, 71-68. It was Peru scoring 104 points as they knocked off Grandview, 104-87. You start looking at the standings on the guys' side. Graceland out on top at 6-1. Baker is 6-3. You got Peru and Central Methodist. Now that you've seen Peru State, Central Methodist, Baker, okay? Those are probably three of the top teams in the conference.
Yeah.
Who's the best? If I were to sit you down now, put it on record, which of those, if I said one of those three teams, who finishes the highest of those three teams? Baker, Central Methodist, and Peru State.
Right now, God, I'm thinking
Peru.
I'm thinking Baker.
Really?
Yeah.
I just think that
I think
Peru
their coaching is really strong.
Score so much, though.
Yeah, they score a lot. Baker's a different kind of a team. Okay, they're not some of those big guys and doing that. They're well coached. They're well organized. I think they're very efficient with their possessions. And so far, and I'm looking forward to seeing what Graceland's got. But I'm telling you what, that Baker team is just really, really good. Tell you what, we have more Sports Look here on KAIR-FM Horton Atchison. We'll be back with it right after this. Sports Look, continuing on a Thursday evening. Many thanks to our lead sponsor, Hamada Wealth Management, and our other Sports Look sponsors making it all happen. And Gus, the football season over for the high schools, as we mentioned, but boy, the colleges continue and the NFL continues and the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, the Kansas City Chiefs have a primetime game as they are the Sunday night contest. Everybody loves the Sunday night game. I think Sunday night may have been maybe eclipsing Monday night's games.
Yeah, I prefer a Sunday night game, right? I don't know. I mean, Monday's okay, but there's just something about that Sunday night football game that everybody just really likes. And the Packers, one of those story franchises, it's Lambeau, it's Sunday night, and I believe this was the first time that Patrick's going to play at Lambeau, maybe for...
I think so. Yeah.
Anyway, kind of a cool deal. Kansas City is a 6-point favorite, but the Packers coming off a little extra rest because they played the Thanksgiving game and coming off a big win. They were able to thump the Lions on Thanksgiving. So the Packers, not exactly a pushover right here.
No, and the Chiefs have played, remarkably enough, even though they played one another in Super Bowl I, they played each other really very few times over the course of the years. And so it's going to be fun to see that. And for me, I'm curious to see the improvement and the maturing of Jordan Love.
Yeah, Jordan Love's playing much better football right now. I mean, he's starting to really put the pieces together and figure it out. I think right now it's kind of some of the pressure has gotten off of him a little bit, and he's just really starting to settle into the player that he can be now. Again, going up against the Steve Spagnuolo defense, if he takes a step back, people are going to say, well, maybe he's not as great. Steve's defense is really awkward. It's tough for younger quarterbacks especially because you just don't see some of those exotic blitzes, right? Like, all of a sudden, you see a 300-pound defensive end who you think is going to crash in, and he's dropped into the flats, and you're like, wait a second, if he's dropped, and you turn to your right, and here comes a cornerback on a blitz, right? I mean, that's the things that Kansas City does. They're going to try to confuse Jordan Love, but he's playing really well. These Packer receivers are starting to figure some things out. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Packers can score some points. I really think the 42.5, these two teams could blow right over that.
Now, the good news is for the Chiefs, they got a defensive player. Is he back yet? He's getting better. He's on the mend.
Yeah, so Nick Bolton is practicing this week, but I don't think they're going to activate him for another week or two. But at least, you know, you're starting to get him back and kind of get to full strength on the defensive side. For the Chiefs, this is a time where you can also bring him around. Bring him along a little slower because, again, the remainder of your schedule doesn't see very many winning teams after this Packers game.
Thursday Night Football, if you want to watch some tonight, here's the deal. Everybody thinks this is going to be a blowout. I'm not so sure it's going to be. The Seahawks, for some reason, I still have potential, but they're at the Cowboys. They're going to be down at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. Cowboys a prohibitive favorite, and yet I think the Seahawks will make a game out of this thing.
Okay. I mean, I just think the Cowboys right now have been able to blow out some of these teams this season and then just not play as well against the good teams. I don't know. I just think that the Cowboys are probably that much better than the Seahawks. I expect it to be kind of the way the desert does. The Cowboys right now a 9.5-point favorite. That's not to say, though, I would love to see the Seahawks come out and win this game.
Cowboys playing well at 8-3 right now. They're going to have Sunday games. Early games include Colts at Titans, Broncos at Texans. You talk about doing nothing for me.
Yeah, but you know, that Broncos-Texans game could be good, right? The Texans are playing better. The Broncos are trending up a little bit. They're a team like right on the fringes of the playoffs. Houston, a 3.5-point favorite. I think that game is one that maybe I circle for the afternoon tilt.
They both, are 6-5 coming into the ball game and, predicted to be pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Other games also would include the Panthers. Now, I'm going to tell you what, everybody around here is now a Panther fan. If you weren't before, you are now and you're paying attention. Panthers at Tampa. It's going to be a short road trip for head coach Chris Tabor and his team 3:05 Sunday.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
Does. Feels good. I like it.
So, yeah, the Panthers, they're a 5-point dog against Tampa. You never know after a coaching change what could happen.
And not just the head coach got changed. After they announced Chris getting the head coaching position, they bagged several other coaches on that staff.
Yeah,
so he's got a lot of work ahead of him just filling the spots and getting good guys in those positions.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it'll be, an uphill climb. But the advantage is he's going to see, Tampa, I think we decided twice yet this season. So get a good game plan in place, and then you'll see him again here in a few weeks. But, again, a really cool opportunity for Coach Tabor here at the end of the season. And, yeah, I mean, pulling for the Panthers.
Best game of Sunday is going to be 49ers and the Eagles.
Yeah, that ball game being played in Philadelphia, and somehow San Francisco a 3-point favorite. San Francisco's been okay this year, but Philadelphia just finds ways to win games.
But after last week, don't you think they're going to be shocked into reality and, I would think come out with a renewed vigor?
Maybe.
Because they came so close to losing that game.
Yeah, and it was just one of those things where I think this Philadelphia team feels like they should be playing better. And they're not playing great, but they're winning games, right? They kind of remind you of the Chiefs of last year, like not looking great, but they continue to win. Maybe that kind of sounds like the Chiefs this year, too. But, yeah, I think that Philadelphia team is going to be tough. I think this could be a matchup or preview, if you will, of the NFC Championship game.
NCAA football going on this weekend. And, Gus, maybe one of the big announcements was the rankings right now. And I can't imagine anybody being surprised with Georgia, Michigan, Washington, Florida State, all 12-0. How can you not make those the top four?
Yeah, okay. So I am – you might have to go ahead and take this as a cut because this will be the first time you hear me say something nice about Florida State. Florida State is one of those teams that I think will end up getting – kind of hosed over on this whole deal, and I don't think they should, right? Their quarterback gets hurt 2 weeks ago, and everybody's like, all right, well, their season's done. I'm sorry, but Florida State's a pretty okay program. They're bringing in high recruits. I'm going to guess the backup quarterback's pretty good at Florida State, okay? Lots of pieces around him. I think it would be just crazy if you held Florida State out of the playoff.
Oh, yeah. That would be a criminal. Florida State, I mean, again, they are 12-0, and there's a lot of good 11-1 teams with Alabama, Texas, Ohio State, and Oregon, you know, all with only a single loss. So this thing's not quite done yet because there are some big games coming up, like Oregon, Washington.
Yeah, so the Pac-12 title game is going to be Friday night. It's Oregon and Washington. Oregon, a 9.5-point favorite, which
I'm, by the way, I didn't think Washington was going to win last Saturday. I listened to that game on the way back, and I mean, I thought the Cougs had that.
And, you know, you jump into the Big 12 title game Saturday morning, Oklahoma State versus Texas. I would love nothing more than Oklahoma State to, you know, ruin that game. Georgia and Alabama is a 3 o'clock game. Georgia, a 5.5-point favorite. Alabama, I would like to see them. I would really like to see all the lower seeds win and all of a sudden just, like, cause mass chaos in the polls.
Well,
I don't think it'll
happen.
Well,
there's a chance of that. I mean, Iowa... If you could hold Michigan to 7 points,
yeah.
Iowa's got a chance.
I was going to say, now, Iowa-Michigan is a game that I know everybody's laughing about Iowa. Like, the one joke was that, I think in Vegas, the halves for Iowa, over a half a point in each half, right? I think Iowa's got a shot to not win this game probably, but I feel like they'll cover that 21.5 point. I think they'll keep this much lower scoring than you would anticipate.
And then, of course, basketball is on the roll at the NCAA level as well. And UConn, Kansas, number 4 and number 5, Saturday night.
How many top 10 teams can Kansas play before they get into the Big 12 schedule, which is just brutal, too? But, yeah, I mean, Kansas has already played, what, Marquette, Tennessee, going to play UConn now, and I'm sure I've left somebody out. Who did they play? Kentucky earlier this season already. So, yeah, Kansas playing a who's of top 25 teams right now. And so that one Saturday at Allen Fieldhouse, that's the Big East versus Big 12 matchup. I think K-State gets theirs next Saturday. They've got Villanova maybe coming to Manhattan.
Yeah, Kentucky, Tennessee, you know, Eastern Illinois, UConn.
Didn't they have Marquette in there?
You got Marquette.
Yeah.
KU did not win that game.
Yeah, but Marquette was like number 2 or 3 now in the country. So, again, yeah.
And I'm kind of looking forward to when they play UMKC here next week.
That'll be a nice little reprieve game for them, right?
There you go. Hey, again, Sports Look. We need to talk about the upcoming schedule. We have got high school basketball tomorrow night. It'll be the Phoenix at the Dogs. Atchison at Rossville. Join us for the girls and boys games about 6 o'clock for the ladies. Guys are going to be after that. And lots of stuff going on around the care listing area. Saturday's Benedict and Culver at 12-2 up in the Nolan. And then Tuesday, we have Atchison again with Tonganoxie getting some early Phoenix games because the Phoenix, a lot of times in the season, we like to get 2 games in. Phoenix don't always play boys and girls at the same site the same night. So to get 2 games in, we're getting you some Atchison action early on. Hey, got to thank Kamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage, Mar and Dance, and Exchange Bank, our fantastic Sport Look sponsors, until we greet you next time. For Gus Kaus, Tom Kautz, so long, everybody.